Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 58th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Gina Zanze Kiesi. She was born and raised in DR Congo, spent nearly a decade in Belgium as a Belgian citizen, and has now lived in the United States for almost 4 years. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Gina.
Thank you.
Let's start back at the beginning of your story. You were born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Can you tell us about the family you were born into?
Good morning, Kate. Yes, I was born in Ligasi, south of Democratic Republic of Congo. My father was a soldier and my mom just a woman at home. I have 5 brothers and 1 sister, so big family.
And big families are the norm, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what kind of schooling did you attend? Were you in kind of a city or a town?
A town, yes. I went in École Belge. It was a private school. And all my brother and my sister, we went there.
And École Belge, is that sponsored by Belgium? It's a Belgian school?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so how is it you ended up leaving DR Congo for Belgium?
My dad and my mom were students in Belgium. They met in Belgium. They married in Belgium. My 2 oldest brothers are born in Belgium. And then I think Belgium is like in their blood. So everybody has to go in Belgium. And I went to Belgium to be married.
I see.
Yes.
So you married a Belgian?
No, Congolese.
A Congolese man in Belgium.
In Belgium, yes.
There's a long relationship between Belgium and Congo.
Yes, a long, very long.
I'm so curious about what the relationship is like between African Belgians and, you know, European Belgians.
The king of Belgium, the Congo was a part of Belgium from, I don't know when, but I know that it was a gift to the king. And then we were a colony of Belgium. And then they gave us independence in 1960.
And that was one of the last countries to get independence.
Yes, I think so.
From King Leopold, is that right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And a pretty intense and brutal rule that Belgium had in Congo.
Yes.
And so that's what makes me wonder. That was just 1960 when that wrapped up. What's that like, it, you know, 50 years later?
I don't know.
Is there a lot of racial tension?
In Belgium?
Yes.
Yes. It's not easy to be black in Belgium. Not easy.
What happens?
A lot of discrimination. A lot of, you can feel that you are not in your home countries, and they will let you know that you are not. Yes.
Yes, like discrimination around employment?
Employment, housing, at school. My daughter, when she was like 5 years old, she went in a school, and one day she didn't want to go to school. She was crying and have some cramps, and I wanted to know why, and she told me that nobody wants to play with her because she's black, and they were telling her that she was dirty and that she was smelling. I said, no, you take your bath every morning so you don't smell. But it was very hard for me to see that and not be able to do something.
Very painful.
Yes.
So you started coming to the United States as a Belgian citizen to visit.
Yes, I was coming.
Right?
Yes, to visit.
And what drew you to the United States?
To stay.
What made you want to come to the United States to visit?
I want I wanted to change, to see something different. And that's true. When I came here the first time, I was impressed because everything was big compared to Belgium. Big cars, big cup, and
cups. We drink a lot.
Yes. And everybody was friendly. When you wake up, you go outside, you see somebody and, hello, good morning. I'm like, oh, it's not like that in Belgium.
Are they more serious in Belgium?
In Belgium, you will not just go out and maybe you can say hi to your neighbors, but in the street?
To strangers,
no. No.
So your travels also brought you here for work. Is that right? Were you?
Yes, I'm here for, now I'm working here, yes.
Yes. And so how was it you ended up staying in the U.S.?
It's a long story. I was coming to visit, and then something happened, and that made me stay.
I see.
And I have two sons here. They were born here.
So you have American sons.
Yes.
And then two older children, right?
Yes. One from Belgium. One is born in Belgium, actually, and one is born in DRC.
Oh, isn't that interesting? You have children in all your countries.
Yes.
You are a great example of a yes. woman who is a global citizen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how are you able to regain your balance as a citizen in a new country? How did you get your feet on the ground and find work?
It wasn't easy. And a lot of time I wanted just to go back in Belgium, even that when I was living in Belgium, I wanted to go back in Congo. It wasn't easy, but I had this purpose in my head that I have to do something for my kids and for my life, because one day if I go back, I will say, yes, I'm proud of me. And I can say that I'm really proud of me. So, and I also don't want to disappoint my late father, because I knew, I know he had some, how can I say it in English? For him, everything will gonna be all right. Even he was sad for what happened to me when I was here, but he couldn't tell it to me, and he was like, everything gonna be all right. So, and I want to be an example for my kids too, to show them and to be able to tell them to not give up on their dreams.
Love yes. is a pretty powerful force.
Yes.
I sometimes wonder what we would do if we didn't have loved ones. So often I hear she had to be strong for her children. And yes. I think, what if she didn't have children?
I don't know.
You know, we do. We stand up straight and we keep moving.
Yes.
Right? So as a girl, you mentioned that you had learned to cook from your mother and that she was a good cook. And I wonder where she learned to cook and if she was intentionally teaching you the craft or if you just ended up picking it up as you went along.
My mom, she's, I think for me, my mom, she's the big chef with 5-star chef. Yes. And she learned from her mom. It's a tradition in Africa. So you learn from your mother. And I like to eat and I love to cook.
So what kinds of things would your mother cook that were 5-star for you?
She was doing everything, and she has a ton of book from the cooking book. Mm-hmm. She has a ton of them, and I like to read. So I was just going there and picking something and trying something, and she was encouraged me to do, even if it wasn't good, but she was just let me do it. And in Congo, we used to have a cook at house, but on Sundays, we had to do it. So each Sunday, my sister and I had to do something for my dad or for everybody. Yes.
And what were your favorite things to make for the family on Sundays?
Pastries.
Pastries. You're yes. a pastry chef.
Yes, I am.
So you were the dessert daughter.
No.
And then you ended up going to school when you were in Belgium to become a pastry chef.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that school and what that was like?
In Belgium, I went in École Hôtelière de Namur, It's an hospitality school, but we were doing everything, so more cooking and front of the house service. But the party I liked in that school, it was the pastry. Yes.
And did you have to do it over and over and over until you made perfect madeleines and perfect éclairs?
And yes. Even now, if I cannot do something like I want, I will continue to try until I have the good results. And it's not just for cooking, it's for everything. Everything I did.
Yes, practice and practice, yes, until you perfect it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you are just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Gina Zanze Kiesi, excuse me. Born in Congo, she later became a citizen of Belgium, where she trained as the country's finest cooking school, L'École de Hôtellerie de Namur. Is that close enough?
Almost.
As a pastry chef. Gina's been in the United States for nearly 4 years now, and she'll soon be able to cook for you if you happen to swing by the Press Hotel when it opens up. What can you tell us, sneak a peek on the Press Hotel?
The Press Hotel, what can I say? I will say that I'm so honored they picked me to be able to cook for a lot of people, and especially because it's an historical building. There is so much history inside, so you can almost feel the life behind the wall, if I can say. And when I'm in my kitchen, because I have my kitchen, we are two, I just want to create, but just come at the Press Hotel.
How many people are working in the kitchen at the Press Hotel?
In the bakery, we are two. And in the kitchen upstairs, there are four or five. I'm not sure. Yes.
Well, I'm really excited to sneak a peek in there. The pictures online are fabulous. And just when I was meeting you there the other day, I got a little glimpse in there, and it's very exciting.
Yes.
It wasn't long ago that it was working as the Press Herald.
Yes, yes. They told me that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, what do you wish every immigrant woman, as well as American women, knew about their rights and safety in the United States? You've had some experiences along these lines. I wondered, you know, what you might like to tell us about that.
it's hard not to know what you can ask for. And for the experience I had here, it was in Belgium, I think maybe I will be dead. But here I was able to find people who could help me and tell me that it's not because you don't have paper, it's not because you are an immigrant, and it's not because you are black, but you have rights. So, and I would like for the people like me or every woman to know that we have rights. You have the right to know that you have some rights.
So I really appreciate what you've just said, but I wonder if listeners might be a little confused. I think I kind of skipped a step.
Yes.
So let me just back up and say, when you came to the United States, you were in a situation where you were living with a man.
Yes.
Who was cruel to you.
Yeah.
And yet you did not have secure immigrant status because you were you had a visa, and
exactly.
So you were told by him that you weren't allowed to call anyone or ask for help.
No, because he was threatening me to call the immigration on me, and he was telling me that if he called me, they will just take my son away from me, and me, they will put me in a plane to go to Belgium. And I'm like, so I was staying there, not knowing what to do, and I was scared. So, and I saw, and I met this lady, and she told me that he was lying to me.
And what did she do to help you?
She gave me some phone numbers that I had to call, and I called other ladies, and they helped me, and I was able to just get out from the house, and I ended up in a shelter with my son, and I was pregnant for my other son.
So you have two children with this man.
Yes.
And some strangers helped you find safety.
Yes.
And I'm so glad they did. Some of the most vulnerable people in our whole culture are immigrants, period, but also immigrant women.
Yeah.
The amount of women who get snatched up into human trafficking, sex trafficking, domestic violence, servitude. It's in every continent, every country, and I think there are something like 63,000 people in this situation in America right now.
Wow.
It's common. And I just wanted to say, if you ever see someone and they need help, start here. You can call 211. That's like a 911 hotline for social services right here in Maine. And it's under the umbrella of the United Way. And there are very trained people there. They're confidential services. And they can help you in any language. And they can help you with things like crisis and emergency numbers, human trafficking, food, housing, jobs. They can help you make free phone calls, and there will always be hot links on New Mainers Speak website, too, if you want to contact 211.org, or just dial 211 can get you there. I called just in case, just to make sure this was the right place before we met, because I wanted to make sure people knew what they could do if they needed help.
Yes,
it's just a starting place. So, you've been through a whole lot. I wonder what, now that you have a job, your kids are in school, daycare, you have help outside of daycare for watching them. Yes. When you have long hours. You know, you're getting pretty established here. You have good housing. What are your hopes and dreams for the next 5 years here in the United States?
Wow. Big question. My hope is to have I want to be more stable for my kids. I have another daughter, my older daughter in Congo, and I would like her to come, and I would like to be able to secure the future of my kids. Yes.
Their education
and everything, because it's the way they are growing is not the way I was raised. I try to combine the both, but it's difficult. It's difficult when you are alone with kids and people try to take advantage of you. But I think I can, with the help of God and people, I will be able to do that, and I just want the best for my kids.
It's a simple plan.
Yes.
But it's hard, isn't it? And I think your point there is very important. You know, raising children in a different culture is just extra hard. The
yes.
things you value may or may not be valued by the culture around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any examples of things like that were different for you when you were a kid that you value, but they're hard to manufacture here on your own?
The respect, to respect the older persons. Like my kids, they are not allowed to call people by their names. Like
their first names? Kids.
No, mm-hmm. They don't. I try to teach them, but it's difficult because at school, it's not the same. But at the house, my friend, they are old aunties.
Oh, I see. They just are called auntie?
Auntie, because mm-hmm. I cannot call, like, you came to see me, and just this small little man came and say, "Hi, kids." No, I don't like that.
Yes, and do you do Mr. and Mrs. as well?
Just aunties and uncle.
I see.
Yes.
Oh, so you promote them to family.
Yes. Yes, because we are a big family, and I have family in Angola too.
And Angola?
Yes.
There's a large Angolan contingent coming to Portland these days.
It's yes, I saw it, but I don't know my family from Angola, but I know that I have family there. And I have a big family in Belgium and in Congo. Big, big, big.
What is big, big, big?
Big.
100?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty big.
Yes, it's big. If we are seven, and I think my mom, there were 10. So you combine.
Yes, it gets exponential.
Yes.
Where do your brothers and sisters live now?
I have one brother in Canada. The other one is in China. I have two brothers in Belgium still. And my older brother and my sister went back in Congo.
You have a very modern world story. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're really one people, and we're just stirring ourselves up all over the globe these days.
Yes.
I love that. I really do. I think that's great. So, any surprises here in Portland? Have you found anything that seems like a real treasure or been kind of shocked by anything here?
In Portland, I found a lot of help. And I was surprised. Because I was thinking that in Massachusetts, I had a lot of help compared in Belgium. But here it was more than what I was expected. I was able to go to SMCC to do an hospitality training. And I went also in SMCC to do a phlebotomy training. I had a scholarship from the
Portland ESL Scholarship Fund.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I can say that I love Portland.
Oh,
just
I love
for that.
Well, I imagine, you know, you were in Massachusetts 3 years before coming here.
Yes.
And so you arrive and it's even better.
Yes.
I'm so glad because we're lucky to have you here. You bring your pastry chef skills, which I personally am very fond of. But so much more is a worldliness and a global awareness.
Thank you.
And, raise the bar here in Portland. You clearly speak French.
Yes, I speak French.
Lingala?
Lingala. I will say I try to speak Lingala as I try to speak English, because when I speak in Lingala, people laugh at me. So that makes me not want to speak Lingala.
Well, but I promise if you want to speak in Lingala, I will not laugh. Do you have any other languages tucked up your sleeve?
Swahili, that's all. So just French, Lingala, Swahili, and a little English.
Yes, I think you're doing just fine in English. Luckily, we were able to conduct this interview in English today.
Thank you.
Do you have anything on this very fine Mother's Day that you would like to say about Mother's Day or about your mother?
My mother is the... Since my father passed away, my mother is the, after God, the number one in my life, and I miss her so much.
Is she in Congo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is probably a tough time to be apart.
Yes, I called her this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, it was this afternoon for her.
Yes. And I said, I'm going to be on the radio. She's like, oh, I will not be able to listen to you.
But she'll be able to listen to you on the website later.
Yes, I told her that.
Actually, she could have streamed you live on WMPG.org if she had wanted to. I forgot to mention that. Sorry.
It's okay.
She will catch you and she will be so proud of you.
Yes.
She has children all over the world. She must have been cooking something just right because she raised pretty capable children.
Yes, she did.
Imagine where your children might end up. Java, where your children might end up. You know, one day.
I don't know, maybe. Because I love to travel too. So my love country is India. I love India.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Maybe, I don't know, Australia?
Yes.
Yes. Australia.
So maybe your children will end up in India and Australia.
Yes, maybe.
That's just great. Gina, you are courageous, honest, and impressively resilient. I wish you all the best as you start your new job and begin to wow us with your divine confections. Thank you so much for your willingness to come on to New Mainers Speak today and share your story.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. Save the date. Next Saturday, on May 16th, there's going to be a festival called Mini Guinea Festival, honoring West African arts and artists in Maine. Former New Mainers Speak guest and master drummer Namori Keita will be offering classes and performances. He just happened to be on the last show and was promoting this event as well. If you would like tickets and more information, go to embodytherhythm.com. And if you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainersspeak.com and check out related links on the show's Facebook page, Facebook.com/NewMainersSpeak. Please stay tuned for Cruz del Sur with Victoria up next right here on WMPG. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Gina Zanze Kiesi. We will close today's program with a song that she's chosen for us. And I wondered, Gina, if you can introduce your song to our listeners and tell us why you chose this song.
It's a Lingala song called Mukongo na Yesu. The singer, Lorne Bongo, is just telling a story from when she was and when she were?
When she was?
When she was, because it's a gospel song. And it's like, I don't know how to say it in English. From where she was and where he is, so God help, Jesus help us. So she said that Jesus carry her on his bag for her not to be hurt. Is that right?
I think that's beautiful. And I can see why you might have chosen this song.
Yes.
Do you feel the same way as she does?
Yes.
That, you know, for the love of Jesus and God, you have made it through difficult times and here you are.
Yes.
Pastry chefing it up in Maine.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I will turn on the song now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. pesaka ngai elo